Good afternoon. Today is Sunday, November 3rd, 2019, and you've reached More of You Live with yours truly, John Moore. Well, it's been a few weeks since you heard from me. This is episode 3 of the podcast of More of You Live, and I wanted to talk about something that I've been waiting to talk about now for almost a month. Just haven't had a lot of time to do it, but I wanted to take a few minutes while I'm sitting here watching my favorite football team, the Eagles, play the Bears, to talk about something that people have been talking about for weeks. And I wanted to kind of connect them a little bit and see if we can kind of finalize and get some type of synergy into what's really going on in terms of police brutality down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We want to talk about three people who have been killed in recent months. Adetanya Jefferson, Joshua Brown, and Botham John. And we want to try to see if there's a connection. Obviously, the major connection, besides they're all being African-Americans, are that they all happened in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. In Adetanya Jefferson's case and in Botham John's case, they were killed by cops in both cases coming into their homes and shooting them. And they were innocent as far as, now there've been questions about the relationship, in the first part between obviously the killer of Amber Geiger and Botham John. And I discussed that on my last podcast a few weeks ago, that I thought that they might've known each other, but there's a little more than that. When we talk about the most recent one, which is the killing of Adetanya Jefferson, where a Fort Worth cop, his name was Aaron Dean, who's no longer with the force, came in because for social welfare, a neighbor had called to have him do a welfare check. But instead of doing a welfare check, and he had a body camera on him, he peered through the window and saw Adetanya Jefferson playing video games with her nephew, a young 28-year-old pharmaceutical rep, and shot her. Didn't have no mindset. And we have to wonder why that is. Why is it that we have white cops, and in this particular area, because when we talk about Dallas-Fort Worth, even though they're two different cities, we're talking about the same metropolitan area. So we have that same mindset of what's going on as to why these white cops are coming into these people, innocent people's homes, and shooting them without any cause, without any chance for them to even respond. And it's sad. Now, obviously, we can go through the history of police brutality in this country, and obviously, as an African-American male, I'm upset by it, and it hurts me, and it's something that hits me very personal, because I myself have had not so great relationships with cops throughout the years, and it's not because of what I've done, it's just because of the way they react toward me. So I kind of feel this thing, but nay, these days it's gotten past just, you know, most of the time it's black males that they used to feel intimidated by, but that's a different subject. But when we're talking about somebody like Adetanya Jefferson, upstanding individual, 28 years old, a homeowner, reputable person in the pharmaceutical business. Okay, a neighbor, which we don't know what her intent is. We assume she just wanted to check on the welfare. Maybe she saw an open window, open door, called the cops to check on her. Not to assume that somebody has gotten into the apartment. But we have the mentality of this cop, Aaron Dean, who obviously did not follow police protocol in what he did, and thus he was fired. Now, the third thing that I haven't mentioned is about Joshua Brown. Now, Joshua Brown was a witness in the case between Amber Geiger and Botham John. And I didn't discuss this on the last one, although I wanted to, but not that long after he testified about it, and he was a huge witness in it, that sent Amber Geiger to prison for 10 years. He was shot and killed. Now, the funny thing about all this is the way he was killed, we don't know really what the circumstances of his killing is. Allegedly, three guys from Louisiana drove from Louisiana to Texas, and because it was a bad drug deal, shot him, I believe, in his mouth and left him for dead. Now, there were a couple of circumstances that were really weird about that. One, marijuana sales in Louisiana are illegal. So why would you have to drive 300-400 miles to Texas to do a drug deal? Okay? The way that Joshua Brown was killed was unusual. It was more like a mob killing than it was anything else. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are wondering what really happened here. What was the relationship between those three young men who were arrested, and they were three black men, killing Joshua Brown, and what's the connection between the other two killings? I did a little research regarding the Joshua Brown killing, and I found that there was a lot of things that went on in the Dallas area that we need to be concerned about. And I think when I sometimes go personal on more of you, if you ever listen to my vlogs on Facebook, I was listening to a friend who was doing her own kind of podcast or stream, and she was talking politics, and she's from California, she talked about the blue wall or the blue code of how, you know, and this goes on for years, where the police protect themselves whenever one of them does wrong, and that includes killing. And I thought about that, and I believe that, you know, we can go into a lot of subjects and regarding police killings and the racism regarding it, but I'm not going to do all that, because if I was to do that, then I'm going to take more than the 15, 20 minutes of this podcast. We could be talking all year or the next 20 years. I think it goes past racism in that I think that there's a particular mentality that these policemen all have, and it doesn't even matter the race of the policeman toward African Americans. Don't matter even if it's a black cop on it, because even in my own experience with cops, I've had issues, and it didn't matter what color they were. And I think the reason is because of the way that these cops are educated. And I don't think it's just in Dallas, Texas. I think this is all over the country. I think we need to kind of look at the way that the police academies deal with them, the way they're educated, the way that they're taught about racial profiling and how to deal with suspects and looking at the race and looking at people's tendencies. And I believe that they stereotype specifically African Americans as to how they deal. And a lot of these people aren't trained to know how to deal. And obviously it's a job just like anything else. You want to please your boss, you want to please your superiors, and you want to get paid, and there's stress and family and all the things that go on just like any other human being, because these people are human. But let's look at the history of policemen. If we go back to the early 1900s, so we're going back over 100 years, many cops got their jobs through nepotism. It started in the Irish community, where when the Irish people came here and they became policemen, specifically in areas in the East Coast, like where I'm from, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, you know, they were patronage jobs. They got the job, you know, their cousin got it, their brother got it, and it became more where, you know, back then, it became more of a patronage job or a nepotism job, and mostly you had Irish or white cops, and then it went into other ethnicities. And I'm getting serious here with the race question, and thus, you had all these different communities at the time. Of course, there was more segregation then than there is now. And thus, you had the separatists where people weren't aware of community, so you had more police brutality. So we think. Now, why in recent years have there been a proliferation of even more police brutality than there has been, you know, say 50, 60 years ago, say during the civil rights movement? Because nowadays, it's a couple of things that are going on. Race is always going to play a part, no matter what we're talking about. But also class. Also the ability to make money, or what kind of status you have in terms of monetary, in terms of material things, and in terms of who you are. And then when you combine all those things along with the environment, along with people who are still around that have the same mentality that they did 50 and 60 years ago, you get this combustion. Now, like I said, it used to be that we were talking about black men who intimidated. But now we're talking about women, black women who didn't always fit that profile of being intimidating, but if we're talking about Texas now, and we're talking about what happened with Antonia Jefferson, remember Sandra Bland a few years ago? Woman from Chicago who came driving down, you know, going to a job interview, stopped by cops, and then they found her dead in a jail cell after she was arrested. There's just this mentality, and we're going to talk about, get that specific, because I know I run around, about Dallas, Texas, and that area, or Texas. Remember, Texas is a state that is primarily a Republican right-wing state, and it has been for a long time. Remember, 1963, 56 years ago, we're in November, around Thanksgiving or just before, it'll be the 56th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination, which also happened to happen in Dallas, Texas. It's an area that is known for open carry. If you remember a few years ago during the Obama administration, where a black man had shot and killed 5 policemen and how they dealt with him. And now it was sad that policemen had killed, but there's always been that dynamic of racism, and I believe classism and money, in terms of what happens in that area, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Now, I'm not from Dallas-Fort Worth. I believe I've only driven through there once, so people probably know more about me, about the market. But having lived in several cities and understanding the mentality and doing my research and talking to people who do live in that area and know more about it than me, there is a clash of things that are going on there, and there's a combustion. Now, what do we do to stop all of that? What can we do to counteract that? Basically, we need community policing and community education. And what I mean by that is we have to find a way to have these cops in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, or I'm going to be nice, I keep saying cops, that's a negative connotation, policemen in those areas, connect with the community to understand, you know, who they're dealing with, and to get a feeling of the community to know when something of a real crime is committed, of what they do. And they had something in Philadelphia, which is my hometown, called the Police Athletic League, where policemen would have athletic events combined with kids, and they would get together, and they would be part of the community. Now, Philadelphia had a huge time regarding this in a great deal, and they still does. It's a large city, but not to the degree, say, it had 50, 60 years ago under the former police commissioner and the famous mayor, Frank Rizzo. But we still have these issues in a place like Dallas, Texas, because, again, they're open carry. People can carry around their guns. There's still a mentality. Now, people are going to raise up about gun control, but remember, we're not talking about gun control in terms of people, the individuals. We're talking about policemen and the way they come in and act it. The other thing besides training that we need to look at in community policing is we need to look at how these people, these policemen get their jobs. One of the interesting things, and for all you people who do look at Moreview, One Progressive's Opinion, which is on Facebook, besides me doing the vlogs and doing the podcast, I also do posts. And I did a post yesterday that talked about Aaron Dean, the policeman who killed Antonia Jefferson. And it had a video showing his interview. And in that video, they asked him about, would he have problems to kill a person? And he did not hesitate. He said, yes, he would. And the problem with that is, where's the sensitivity? Where's the empathy? Now, I'm not a cop. Excuse me, I always say cop, policeman. Never trained to be one. I've known and met a few, and they have different personalities. But I do know that when in a stressful situation, the first thing they shouldn't be doing is shooting to kill somebody. They want, you want to, just like in any other work situation, you want to defuse the person. You want to be able to communicate with the person. But when you have somebody with a mentality of, yes, I'm going to kill him, I'll do it, I'll do it, that's reminiscent of somebody in the military going out to kill the enemy, or us going out to kill somebody from ISIS. We don't want that kind of mentality in our policemen. We want them, when they go into the community, to be able to defuse the situation, and which most cops do. I'm not going to say that all cops are bad. That's not what this is about. We're talking about those policemen that have the mentality based on who they are, what they grew up with, what their stereotypes with, and their mentality. Now, I know it's not easy, an easy job, and it's not easy hiring them, but I do believe, and going back to what I said at the beginning, even if there's not as much of a nepotism as there was back over 100 years ago with immigration, there is still a stigma, and there's a stereotyping within that type of job as to who you hire. And you want, and people think that you should have this macho, even whether it's a male or female person that wants to go in there and just strike and attack, like, you know, the public and the community are the enemy. That's not the mentality we want. We want somebody who can go in and defend themselves when they have to, and do the right thing and make the right decisions, but not go out there and attack and kill people. That's not the mentality. Or even in a criminal situation, that's the first thing that you want to do. You want to change that. And that's an aggression that we can't just look at in terms of just the police. It's an aggression that we all have. It's like kill or be killed, you know? Now, one of the things I do, and I talk about politics, and obviously if you know me, I'm a progressive, and I can be aggressive, and I just put up a change photos every month, and I just put up something about Malcolm X, and about by any means necessary what we have to do in the elections in 2020. But when I say that, I'm not saying to go out and get a gun and shoot somebody to kill somebody to win an election, or do what you got to do, cheat, kill, you know, starve the other person, do what you have to do in order to win. That's a win at all costs mentality. And yes, we want to be all be successful in life. And even as policemen deal with this, and of course, obviously it's a job, they want to be successful too. We have to kind of get off of that. It's not a competition out there. I mean, this is not Rambo or Arnold Schwarzenegger in Total Recall. This is life. And we need to care, and we need to be empathetic and understanding about who we're dealing with, what kind of person. We need a psychologist out there that can communicate with people and kind of recognize situations as to what to do. So one, like I said, better education within the police department, more community policing, better human resource training to hire more qualified people, And I think that if we can do those three things, then maybe, and just maybe, we can have the situations that happened with those three individuals be lessened in the future. And we can kind of break that blue code. Now, nothing is perfect. Look, we can talk about, because I know what's going to happen when people listen to this. They're going to shout and say, well, what about the systematic things of African Americans for the last 400 years? I already know what they're going to say. And they're right. But it's got to start somewhere, people. Progressive means progression. You're not going to always get what you want immediately. And everything's not going to happen so fast. So we got to take this one step at a time. So, yeah, you got a systematic thing of 400 years. What can we do about that? I'm not going to... Are we going to make changes immediately? No. Even the things that I said are going to take time. And communities are going to be resistant to that because everybody's going to be comfortable with the way they do things. But we have to start somewhere, people. And those three things that I mentioned, and I'm going to repeat them again before I get out of here, are a start. Other people may have other ideas that can work. Other people who are within the community know things that I don't know, or people who work in the police departments. Some of them may even be trying some of these things or doing more things. But we need to start somewhere, and we need to have an understanding before we start attacking each other and just saying this is racist or this is this and it's never going to happen or you don't know or what. God, yo, we can sit there and yell all day, and that doesn't solve anything. So we, again, community policing, better education, better human resources hiring. Those three things, maybe in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we could save another Adetonya Jefferson incident. While the Joshua Brown incident is more complicated than others, and that might get into even more stuff, and it could even be a mob hit for all we know. Again, we still have to fight it, and it's got to start somewhere. And there are more complicated solutions that maybe that we can discuss at some other date. But again, people, it's just a start. And this is Moreview Live. And if you remember, my site is called Moreview One Progressive's Opinion. So this is just one man's opinion. So let me know what you think. I hope you liked the last 20 minutes of what I talked about. If you have some thoughts and opinions, go on to Facebook, Moreview One Progressive's Opinion. Let's talk about it. If you see that post about Aaron Dean, go ahead and put it up there. And we can continue to discuss, because more dialogue creates better solutions and creates progress. So I want y'all to have a blessed Sunday. We'll talk soon. If for y'all, all of you that do support more of you progressive's opinion, excuse me, we are going to do a More of You Live, which is my vlog, on Thursday. And we're going to talk about the insurances, since it's that time of year. We're going to talk about Medicare. We're going to talk about private insurance for companies and for individuals. And we're going to talk about the Affordable Care Act and where it stands and what choices that people can make, because we're in the middle of the period where people decide for 2020. So until then, until the next podcast, I'll see you later. Peace.